Hello, everybody. Those of you who are joining us little by little, who are here to understand more about who we are, how our lives can unfold, how our existence can derive meaning, or even how we can start to ask questions, let's say as we examine our lives, as we examine who we are. It's actually difficult sometimes to make sense of all of this. Sometimes it's a struggle as we try to place ourselves within our existence. I've been considering that, I don't know, probably my whole life, but at least thinking about it in the last few days, about the difference between daily life, meaning the one we live when we're going through our activities, our motions, day by day, step by step. When we wake up in the morning, we take care of ourselves, we take care of others. It's like the daily life, the one that we live with regularly. Sometimes it seems as if that life is in black and white. It's a kind of, you know, you probably don't remember, you're all too young, but TV used to be black and white. There was no color. I remember, I think we got a TV in our house in 1952 when my sister was born, and I think my parents needed to have something which would engage me a little bit. I think we got a TV then. It was this round screen, maybe this big, in this big box, and not very clear or defined. Black and white with a lot of shades of gray. When you think about regular life, like doing this, doing that, doing the other thing, naturally you see in color, because eyes see in color, unless you're colorblind, which is rare. But you see in color, but the depth of what you are doing is quite similar to a black and white image, in the sense that it's not something that strikes you as being significant, as really deeply connected to the self. Unless you're a mother taking care of children and enjoying that, then your life is filled with the color of your children. Or you're an artist, or something where there's some creativity involved. I think when you're a mother, for example, you've created this child, and you are creating the life of this child, the growth of the child, like a gardener, nourishing it. And that act of creation brings so much more color into your life. I think this creativity is in every one of us. Creativity is part of the soul, or maybe even it's the integrated essence, the consciousness that is by nature creative. Well, let's examine that. When you speak, you're creating an expression. When you move, you're creating. When you build, when you transform anything, it's part of a creation. These actions we do are creating our lives. You know, this plant is in the wrong place. Do you like the way I cleverly did that? Just, I was creating the space behind me. Still not good. Where is it now? Can't see it. That leaf over there is sticking in my head. So now I've created this this weird, it's hard to do this, this weird movement of color into my head in two places, right in the neck. So I'm now captured by this plant. It's got me like in a vice, you know. I'm stuck. And it's got me there, there too. And I'm frozen. Wow, that's a heavy thing. Gotta move it again. That's it. Boy, that was a tough one. So, creativity. I spent my morning painting. I never do that, really. Even more importantly, I never actually share that much with people about what I do or how I feel. I read an article yesterday that stated that if you want people to like you in your work, or you want people to like you in whatever you're doing, you should share your political views with them. Because when you share your political views with people, they tend to trust you more. And when they trust you more, you have a greater and deeper interaction with them. I don't really have political views. I mean, none that I would care about, really. I mean, I know what I don't like when it affects me or it affects others, but I don't really have, like, political views in the same sense that was related in this article. They had done this survey about what makes people like other people or connect to other people, especially in the workplace. Political views, much more important than how you feel, what you do, your family. Political views. Strange. I generally don't share all that much because, I don't know, when I start saying things, I think they're boring. I mean, why would you care? What would be the point of it? I mean, why would I do that? To impress you? I don't know. I'm not against impressing you. I don't have any problem with you being impressed. But to do something that you're impressed, why? Why would I do that? I mean, there are all kinds of obvious reasons why I would want to impress you. But if impressing you makes me feel better about me because I have your approval, is that good? Is that healthy? And if I'm interacting with you with the purpose of having you approve me and acknowledge me, then that's a very selfish motivation. It's all about me. I'm going to do something for you that's going to cause you to do something I want. So I'm manipulating you for my so-called benefit. Is that right? I don't know. I don't like that. I don't like to interact with others with my motivation being selfish. I wasn't born that way. And if I'm placed into that situation by others who come and their basic motivation is, what do you have? Impress me. And I've got to present myself. It's a horror. I would never make it as a business person for that reason. Because business people are very good at that. Selling something. They sell a product. They sell a service. They sell themselves so that you trust them and want to do business with them. Business and politics are part of the existence. This is not a judgment. I'm observing this. I'm not good at that. You never want me as part of your management of your business. I can help you create it. I can give you principles and ideas how to do it better and how to deal with people better. But as far as selling something, I end up giving it away. give it away. I give things away. If somebody says, I don't have, I can't, I take. I'm a terrible businessman. And if I have to act in a way where I really need to express my self-interest, I feel really bad about it. Now, sometimes I used to think that was because I didn't have enough self-confidence. I definitely don't have enough self-confidence. I know that shocks people, but I am not a self-confident person. I feel, you know, there's a million ways in which anything can go wrong. I may be wrong. I can think of 10 different reasons at any given moment why something's not right. Confident people don't think like that. Constantly observing how things can fall apart. But then I started thinking, there's something else involved here. It's not just a function of confidence. It's not just the function of values, to not want to be selfish or not want to exploit or to actually be of service. There's another factor, and I talked about it in the beginning, creativity. So if I had to define myself in broad categories, in one thing that would express it a lot, I started thinking of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Creation, maintenance, and destruction. I'm actually quite good at destruction, but I don't like it at all. It really doesn't express me in any way. Maybe it does, but I don't want to talk about it now. Maintenance. Well, yeah, I can do it. But if I wanted to express me, I would say, I like to do creation. I would say, artist. Let's forget about for a second whether I'm good at it or not. The good artist, bad artist, that's not the point. I'm more like an artist. I understand artists. Not just painters. You know, anyone who creates something. Theater, art, music, writing, creators, artists, poets, whatever, all the aspects of creativity. I like creativity. Huh, interesting. I'm an artist. So when I woke up this morning, I took my iPad and I have a program called Sketches, and it's free, so I think, why not, you know? I got my stylus with a little rubber tip. It's a cheapo, cost less than a dollar. And I started painting. And I made like 4 paintings this morning. And I had a blast. It was like really a lot of fun. I was like, art! You know, like Jackson Pollock, take the... Of course, you know, he's famous and good at it. But I had fun. It was fun. Thank God I don't have to sell it to eat. Not exactly the same, but it was just fun. I was expressing myself. And then I realized, you know, yesterday or the day before, Nanda Priya had sent me a song he recorded with some professional guy. Wow, it was good. He sounded good, the piano was great, cool. And then before that, Sati had sent me a song she did in Vrindavan. I said, wow, she's sounding like the real deal. I mean, my goodness, that's good. And then previous to that, Mahasamaha, she sent me these paintings because I was bugging her. I want her to send me her art. I have like a hidden motive that when she gets famous, you know, I'll have my retirement security. I can sell it for big bucks. I wouldn't sell it, but it's like a thought, you know, have some. So like all these people were like, I'm like appreciating the artistic side of it. I mean, then I started thinking about it. I mean, the people who I know, they're to a large extent artists, writers, or musicians, theater or whatever. Cooks are artists. They paint with flavors and aromas. And landscapers and gardeners and architects and builders. I mean, I love architecture. I went to architectural school and I really loved it. I mean, for me, architecture and architectural engineering, which I went to school and university to become architectural engineer, for me was like, of course, to build from the ground up a structure which manifests and has a beautiful look to it, and that's practical and valuable, and you can live in it, and you can work in it, and you can do art in it. I love it. I love painting with buildings. I love painting with master plans, painting a community, painting the psychosocial principles of the community, painting the financial principles, the spiritual principles of community, and have that community appear on the canvas and people living within it. Art, it's art. Speaking is an art to create imagery, color, to mix colors, because they're unlimited. Color is unlimited. It's the most amazing thing. You cannot find a limit. The simple thing, the scale between infrared and ultraviolet, and even beyond, but we just can't perceive it. The scales of color. There are unlimited varieties within that scale. I mean, depths of it and the way in which it appears. I mean, even just look at this sweatshirt. It's yellow. Yeah, sure. But look at it deeply. There is all different forms of yellow and different varieties. And even as I move, those forms change. And that is very much related to the light. Well, I have three lights going on here. So, and these lights have warmth to them, color to them. They change colors because of the way they bounce. That light bounces off this material. The depth of color. If you just observe anywhere, the colors, they are infinite. You can't find the end to the combinations of colors and the combinations of light of all different forms. Direct light, reflected light, indirect light, light that is just appearing from within. It's unlimited. And the painting you can do with those colors, unlimited. So we have been given this palette. You know, like in the when an artist paints the old days, you used to think about it, he has on his thumb or she has on her thumb, and then it's this wood thing, and then there's all these colors, and they're squeezing it in there. It's life is like that. This unlimited palette, color, sound, taste, touch. And all this feeling, all the way in which energy impacts us. These colors are energy, they impact us. The taste, the smells impact us. the forms, and even in the way they are mixed together, it all has an impact on us. That's art. Art impacts. And the more it impacts, the greater we call it. It's not really the technique, or not really this supposed skill or lack of it. It's the impact. How it impacts us. Every artist knows they may have an exhibition, they may have all kinds of paintings. Some of them are quite good, some of them maybe not so good, but they like them in different ways. People come in to pay, to buy. What do they buy? Do they buy the best ones? Because that's very subjective. What's best to one is, I like that. No, you like that one? I don't like that. It's what impacts them the most. When somebody puts their hard-earned money on a piece of art, it's because they were impacted by that piece of art to such a degree it moved them. It moved them to cough up some bucks. That's a very significant act, to acknowledge the impact that the art had. I mean, or the music, this impact. So an artist thrives on the impact. An artist thrives on the way in which what they have created affects those who view it, or hear it, or taste it, or smell it, or feel it. It's just a fabulous exchange, creativity. We were born with it. No, you say? No, not me. I wasn't born creative. I got no talent. Well, babies. When babies first poop, they are very impressed with their creation. Look what I made. It's wonderful. My creation. And then we're taught, oh no, that's not a good creation. We gotta put you around. Oh, that's not a creation. Oh, that's a poop. Oh. Or by speaking, I'm creating this sound. That's not a creation. That's a screech. In this way, we get defined. In this way, our creativity is behaviorally modified, to the point where, in certain circumstances, it's basically erased from the consciousness. The concept of a person being creative. And in that sense, it becomes black and white. In some, they refuse. Artists, by nature, are rebellious. Artists, actors, musicians, writers,